slight general introduction really to begin with. Faith under fire. Did you know Christians are having a hard time of it in some parts of the world? Christians in this country are finding things a little more difficult in places as well. The sort of system is giving us a bit of trouble at times. So issues facing the church today, and that we need to think about, we need to face up to, so we can be strong Christians against what is quite often very strong opposition. We're called to be faithful to God, and that's not always easy in our world in which we live. I've got a list of some of the issues that we face today, and let's have a start with some of them, shall we? Right, okay. I've got a balloon on a set of tacks. You don't know where to step for blowing up yourself if you're not careful. Some of the issues we have. Who is God? Who's God? Well, is he a man? Right? Is he one of the gods that the other religions dream up? Or is he this YHVH thing? That's the name in Hebrew for God. It means the Lord. Yeah? Who's God? What's he like? And that's important. It's no good worshipping any old thing, you know. You need to know you're worshipping the right one. That always helps. Right? And then, cause and presence of evil. That's another thing that we face. You know, why do bad things happen? People will throw that at you. There can't be a God if all this horrible stuff's happening. What's the cause of the presence of evil? Why do bad things happen? And one that's really important for us is, how do you know what you know is right? Yeah, that's really important. How do you know what you know is right? Where does authority finally lie? Who decides what's right, what's wrong, what's relative? I don't know. We'll look at those sometime as we go along, yeah? How about this one? The Bible's conflict with science, modern science, I say, because not all science is in conflict with the Bible, I assure you of that. But some of the modern science is, as we'll see. Right, the next one, please. A few more. This is a killer one now. Human sexuality. Is it he, she, it, or both? Right? Right? Science and culture come into conflict there as well. Right? And then, crime and punishment. What about that? Do we let them all go off free? Or does sin have to be punished? Well, how about that? Same-sex relationships, we're into that one as well, aren't we, nowadays? Right? Just the way things are today, isn't it? Well, we'll see. And then, family conflict. How about that? Families are under attack today. Did you know that?
Yes.
They all lived happily ever after. We used to read that in the stories, didn't we?
Yes.
When did you last find that to be true, then? Yeah, I wonder. Anyway, next thing, please.
When we grew up.
Yes. And then some more, just some more issues for us to think about. These are all things that people have to face. As Christians, we have to think about somewhere along the line. Slavery and freedom. How people treat other people. And really, who is free? Now, I've got an example of that. For example, at Whitemore. When we we are supporting the Kairos work. There'll be some guys in there who, God willing, will become Christians this next week or two, right? And they will be free, spiritually speaking, because they will be set free from their sins, their hang-ups and all the problems. Not all at once, necessarily, but God's at work in them, right? So they're free. And then some of the officers, they're as hard as nails, and they're free. They can go out of the prison, but they carry their chains with them. Yeah? So freedom's a big thing, yes? And then nationalism and globalisation. You hear that on the news all the time now, don't you? But the Bible deals with that as well, right? There's a lovely example in the book I'll be looking at, when men get big ideas about themselves. Right? Take over the world, won't we? Right, and then a real crunch one for the news today. It's always in the news. The Jews and Israel, the church, how that interacts with all of that. The land of Israel in the Middle East. It's all in the melting pot. Christians, what do you believe? What do you think God says about it? Well, there you are. And then the final one. How about this? The end of the world's coming. Did you know that? How to prepare for the end of the world. That's pretty important, isn't it? So, let's have a look at that next one then, Matt. So, question for you. Which Bible book has been most attacked over those issues I've just mentioned? Which Bible book is the one that really gets hammered for all of those things? You sure now?
Leviticus.
Well, no. So next picture, I'll give you my answer anyway. All the books get hammered in some ways, but this is the one. Yes. The book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is the one book in the Bible where it tackles all those issues I've just mentioned. All of those issues turn up in the book of Genesis, some way or another, and give us God's slant on how he thinks about it. Right, so let's have the next one then, please. So we're going to start with the book of Genesis, if that's all right. I don't know how long this is going to take us, but we're going to look at chapter 1 and a bit of chapter 2 this morning, God willing. And it's going to be brief in many ways, because books have been written about chapter 1 and about some of the verses in chapter 1. So there's a lot of stuff that I won't be dealing with, but just hinting at in a way. So we start at the deep end. This is the first words in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right. In the beginning. That means there was not something there before the beginning began. Right? You got that? Something was there, but it wasn't things. It was God. God was there in the beginning, right? But the beginning means that everything else started then. That's an important lesson about God. God is not part of the creation. Yeah? You don't worship him in stones and bits of wood and stuff like that. God is separate from his creation, right? That's important. So there was a beginning. It's not always been like it is. That's important to grasp that. Next then, please. Right. And then, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's interesting. The Bible says God. Interesting. One God. Not many gods. Not all sorts of variations on the theme. One God. Interesting, I just throw this out as a technical point for you. What's the Hebrew word for God? It's Elohim. It's a plural word. It could mean gods. Right? Why does the Hebrew use the word Elohim for God? Well, explanation, then we'll come to another bit as well. But it's this. Sometimes in Hebrew, they use plurals to mean really big. You know, if you say a lot of them, it means it's really big. So God means the big one. Yes? Right. So there's only one God. That's important to grasp that. And if you think about it, it's reasonable, isn't it? If God is as big as God is, there isn't any room for anything else. So one God is what it's about. And the Bible assumes that. And when Moses was writing this account to the Israelites, they didn't need to be... have God explain to them, they'd seen him at work. You know, they come out of Egypt, they'd seen the amazing miracles that God did. You know, they didn't need convincing God existed. There weren't many atheists in the camp at the time, because they knew one God had done all these things for them. Right. Next then, please. Right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right. Created. Important word. Yes. There are two words for making things that turn up in Genesis chapter 1. One is to make and the other is to create. Right? To make means you can make something, can't you? You get a block of wood and you chip it out of it. You make something out of something. Right? But the word create means you make something out of nothing. Right? So God made something out of nothing. He created the heavens and the earth. Right? So I've got a couple of questions. How did he create? Did he go into his workshop, get the tools out and start chipping away? He spoke. God spoke things into existence. When God says it, it happens. It's amazing, isn't it? That's a big God we've got, isn't he? Right, so God spoke. That's one of the things. And then, when did he create? Right, well, he created it in the beginning. Right, now that's important. He didn't restart something. That there's an issue about that. I won't go into the details, but he didn't restart with a mess and then sort it out. He started from scratch with nothing and made the heavens and the earth. And the question I've not given you an answer to, why did God make it all? Any thoughts? Why did God make all of this stuff?
For us.
God made it because he wanted you to know him and to experience his love. We'll see. God made earth for human beings. You'll see that as we go through the chapter. He made it so that you could live and breathe and enjoy his blessings, and that he could show you his love and you could experience that and love him back. Yeah? Why did God make the heavens and the earth? Because he loves us. How about that? That's a bit of a good start, isn't it? So, next one, please. Right. Some key issues. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Some key issues. Right. Conflicts. He made it out of nothing. That's that Hebrew word I said, right? Yeah. Was it a big bang?
No.
Well, if God said, I can say this, if God said, let there be, that was a pretty loud bang, I think. But it was God who did the banging, not the stuff. It's crazy, think about it. Yeah. How can a bang set itself off?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we've got problems there, you know. You can have the biggest bang of firework coming in November, you know. Super cannon, right? And he says on the thing, light the touch paper and retire immediately, right? Retire immediately, right? Well, if it's like they say it was, you know, you've got all this stuff ready to go up, who's going to light it? Well, it didn't. Right? God created that, right? Okay. And was it recent or was it a long time ago? That's another issue. Was it the millions and millions of years, or has God done something with time that they don't know about? Yeah, that's it. There's books been written on all this stuff. I haven't time to go into all the detail, but it's simply this: when God makes things, time does strange things. Yeah, mm-hmm. So be aware of that. Okay, then this is the big one. Chapter 1 of Genesis is a strange chapter. It's the most unusual chapter in the Bible, and it's this: Chapter 1 of Genesis describes things that no human being has ever seen. Because no human being was ever there when it happened. Yeah? Moses is writing about events that no human being could have written about. Yeah? Because nobody was there. So, how did Moses get to know? That's the question. Where did Moses get his idea from? Revelation or imagination? Did he come up with a nice idea? Let me think now. How did the world start? I know. Let's invent a God. And we'll do this, make it up, yeah? Did Moses make it up, or did he get it? He got it from the one who was there. Yes? The one who was there, who knows what happened, because he did it, would be quite good at telling Moses how he did it. Right? So, that's what I believe. That's really important, brothers and sisters. That first bit lays down the foundation of how you treat the Bible for the rest of the 18 chapters that come. If you believe that Moses got his message from God, right, then you've got it. God's book is different. Yeah, and what God says is important. Yep. Right, next one, please. Right. Now, just don't go into the detail of this. This can be seriously boring or mind-boggling or whatever the case may be. Right. I've got some super glue in the middle. Christians have made an attempt, I don't know if you're aware of this, Christians have made an attempt to try and glue the Bible to some of the modern scientific theories. Right? And they've done it like this. First of all, chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 1. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void and so on. Yeah? They try to make a gap between chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. They say that between verse 1 and verse 2, there's millions and millions of years. That's how we fit the evolution thing in, see? Right? That's how there's a big gap between those verses. It's possible, yeah, in theory. Give you a practical example of that. Jesus, when he stood up in the synagogue and opened the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor and all that thing, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, right? He stopped halfway through a sentence. Yeah? And what was the halfway through the sentence? Was the day of the judgment of God. Right? Jesus was really saying is judgment not yet. Yeah? And how long have we been waiting? 2,000 years. That's a big gap between half a verse, isn't it? So it's possible, but I've got one problem. One problem for you, well, it's a big problem, is that what's the cause of death? What do they write on the certificate? Short of breath, yeah. That's what my dad used to say. What did he die of? Short of breath was the phrase. Yeah. Whatever disease or whatever it is that finishes off a human being, the ultimate thing behind it is sin has caused that problem in the world. I'm not saying that they've died because of some terrible sin they've committed. Sin running through the world is what it's done, right? And if we have things formed by evolution, do you know what's the grand phrase that Darwin had? Was survival of the fittest, yes? Do you know what survival of the fittest means? death of the weakest. Yes, that's how it means. That's what it means. Death of the weakest. And that means death is part of the way life was produced, according to modern evolutionary theory. The Bible says death was not part of the system to start with. God made it good, and death came in later on. You'll have to wait to chapter 3 for that, but we've got that coming up. Yeah. Right, that's one way of doing it. Yeah. The other is that it's an illustrative story, or a myth. That's the word they use, technical word, a myth. A sort of a parable. It's not the facts that matter, it's what it says. Yeah? It's good, isn't it? It's not the facts that matter, it's what it says. It's telling us about how God wanted to show us his love and all that sort of stuff. Brilliant, yeah? Great. Problem. Yeah? Where does fable end and facts begin? Because if you've turned chapter 1 into a myth, how do you know Jesus wasn't a myth? How do you know what he did wasn't a myth? It's all made up, isn't it? Where does fable end, facts begin? The other thing that's important, and this is where they come unstuck, is quite often in the Bible, when there's a parable coming, the Bible tells you it's a parable. Yeah? And what does the Bible say about Genesis chapter 1? It says, this is history, not parables. It's a real event. Yeah. Okay, so why do people try to stitch these things? Why do Christians try? Well, all sorts of reasons. Maybe we're embarrassed. Embarrassed when all these very clever clogs, you know, come up with this, yeah, you don't believe the Bible now, do you? And what they do is they sort of hedge around. Well, we do, but it's not quite the way we used to think. Right? It's fear, really. Fear. Not very good. Or, alternatively, we try to be relevant. You know, we want people to know God and to love God. Good, right? But you won't get people to know God and love God if you just ditch God at the beginning, you know? It's not going to work. Right, so, how big's your God? That's the issue. Is your God big enough to be able to create the world just like he said he did? Well, if he isn't, you better get to know him. Yeah. Right, the next one, please. Right, we're on now. Genesis is not written as science, but from our perspective. Here's a little challenge for you. Look at that picture. What do we call this? Sunset. Sunset or sunrise, depending on what time the date's at, yeah? Why do we call it sunset?
Sunset.
Because you're primitive people when you call it sunset. Don't you know that the earth is turning around the sun? The sun's not setting anywhere. Yeah? We know that, don't we? Right? Yeah? So why do we... clever 21st century people say sunset, because that's how it looks, right? And the Bible's describing it as how it looks from planet Earth, right? If God wanted Moses to describe the whole theory of planetary motion, he could have, but it won't do you much good if you're out there in the middle of nowhere. Sunset and sunrise is very nice, so you've got that. The science is not always there, because it's talking from the perspective of where we are on planet Earth. Right, okay, next one, please. Yeah. Genesis is not written as science, yeah, but it sets the scene for the rest of what's going to happen to humans and all our history. But I want to add this, and this is the important proviso, and it's this. Where it touches history, geography, geology, physics and biology, that's most of the stuff we know about, isn't it, yeah? Right? If it's God's word, if, and my if isn't an if, it's if of arguments, yeah? If it's God's word, then when God says something about it, he knows what he's talking about. Okay. Right, next thing, please. Day one, we're going to get through the week. Very quick week, this one. Right. Day one, energy source, itself. Things are turning, as you'll see. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. Right. So, God starts, first of all, with making light. Right? But it's light that becomes day and night. Yeah? Do you know why light's day and night? Because the earth's turning. Yes? God's put the light source on, and it's himself. He's the source of the light. Yeah? And the earth's turning, so we get day and night. One interesting little technical question. What does the word day mean? There are three meanings to the word day in the book of Genesis. Yeah?
Daytime.
Daytime, that's 12 hours. Day one, that's 24 hours. And in the day that God created the heavens and the earth, that's all we. So you can have. Depends on the context. Yeah, just thought I'd throw that one in for you. Right. Next one, please. Right. So day two, we're on to that. Was a quick day, wasn't it? Day two, somewhere to breathe. Right. We'll mention that in a moment. God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. So, originally, all water, God splits it. Water up, water below. There's a lot of water up there. Do you know what's going to happen to it? It's going to come down one day. Right? There's still, actually, there's tons and tons of water up there now. Right? But there was a lot more up there before. Yes? We'll see. It comes down a little later on. Chapter 6. Anyway, so, lot of water up there. But you need an atmosphere, don't you? Somewhere to breathe. Who's he making it for? Okay, next slide, please. Right. Somewhere to stand, food to eat, and oxygen to breathe. Let's have a look at that then. God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. So, God creates the land, that's somewhere to stand, yes? And he creates the plants, that's something to eat, yes? And, not only that, plants produce something that's really important for human beings and animals. Oxygen. Now, that's quite amazing. I don't know if you know this, but the cell of a plant is more complicated than the cell of an animal. Because the plant cell acts like an animal when it's dark, but during the daytime, the plant cell pulls in the oxygen and creates sugars and oxygen. Pulls in the sunlight and creates sugar and oxygen for us. Yeah? Good, eh? So it produces food and it produces oxygen. Really important. Something to breathe. Next slide, please. Day four. Big clocks. I like this one. I like clocks, you know. God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the sacred times, and days and years. And let there be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights. The greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. So he puts lots of lights on. And two secondary lights. God's transferred the responsibility for giving light to these. Right? But he's in charge, of course. He made the sun and the moon. He calls one the greater light and the other one the lesser light. Why does he call them that? One's brighter than the other. The amazing thing is, in terms of the size of them, to our eyes, from planet Earth, they're exactly the same size. That's why you can get an eclipse. When one goes in front of the other, yeah, it completely blots out the light of the sun, because the size of the moon is just right compared to the distance of the sun. Amazing, eh? Yeah. Isn't God clever? Amazing, right? Anyway, he made those to provide the lights, but they also provide us with a clock. 24 hours a day, sun up, down, round and round. A month, moon going round, it cycles, yes? And then the stars, what do? They give you the year. Right? Because the stars move around over the year and come back to the same place at the end of the year. That's a good clock. It's been going a long time as well. It's pretty good. Right, okay. It's good, eh? Next slide, please. Yeah. Right. Day five. Life at sea, life in the air, reproductive patterns and emission plan. All of that in day five. Amazing, yeah? As you'll see. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which water teems that moves about in it, according to their kinds. And every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. Right. So, God's created three environments. Yeah? Sea, sky, and land. Right? And he fills the sea with the sea creatures. Creates those. Just one little word for you. What's the biggest creature that's ever lived?
Dinosaur.
The biggest creature that has ever lived is still alive today. It's the blue whale. It's the blue whale. So, kids, you see, have your dinosaur. Some dinosaurs are very small, you know. Yeah? But even the biggest doesn't match the blue whale. So, you see, just pass that on as a thought, right? So that's the sea. We've got the sea with things in. And then the birds flying in the sky. God created flight. Isn't that amazing? Do you know, I love to see birds flying, isn't it? They're effortless. Just think, they're on the ground 1 minute, on the top of the roof the next. If we could do that, we'd be brilliant, wouldn't we? Right. There we are. Yeah. So, there you go. Next one, please. Oh, I missed out a bit there. He gave them a plan. Yeah. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Right? Increase. He built into them something that's remarkable, as he did with the plants. Did you notice? It says, he made them produce seed according to their kinds. I've got a little challenge for you. You go along to one of the gardening places, buy a packet of seeds. If it says lettuce on there and you get turnips, you can go back and complain. Yeah? Because the seeds have built into them the plan. Isn't it amazing? All that information is built in. Same with these creatures, right? God built them in with this information, and information doesn't evolve, information has to be given. Yeah? That's important. Just give you one little test, if I could. If I had this piece of paper, and I had one of those, you know those felty pens, and I wrote on there the big letter P, yeah? Right? And then ask you the question, how many letter P's are in that pen? Go on, have a guess.
Nothing.
You can tell. You can tell. The answer is, there are no P's in that pen. The P's in me writing it. Is that right? Yeah. And so the information has to be given. Yeah? It doesn't appear, it has to be given. Same with DNA. You can have all the letters in the world, if nobody's written them in the right order, it's garbage. God writes. He writes straight. Next slide, please. Life on the... Oh, you've got this one, yes. God said, this is basics, God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. The livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Amazing. Here we have a few of the kinds. There, yeah? Kind means a group type. Yes, dogs. I mean, dogs come in all shapes and sizes, but you know a dog when you see one, don't you? Right? Same with cats. Shapes and sizes, but they're all of their own kind. Yeah? Now then, here we have some of these creatures. Creepy crawlies, the things that move along the ground. Your favourites, of course. Right. I think they're wonderful things, yeah? Yeah, there we are. And domestic animals, the sheep and the cattle and so on. So God made those three groups. Yeah? Next slide, please. Right, and last but not least, the crown of creation. God made two human beings in God's image. Do you know He had to make two? Do you know why He had to make two? He didn't want them to be alone. Yeah, to multiply, you need two humans. Yes. So far, I mean, we're doing pretty well with our messing around, aren't we? But you know, so far, two human beings, right. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Now, this verse, we could spend a long time on. It really is packed with stuff to think about. But just to say a couple of things about it is that God made us as human beings, right? And the interesting thing is, you can't evolve one human being. You have to evolve two at the same time in the same place. Because if they don't turn up together, you ain't got no human beings. Shame, isn't it? But that's how it works, you know? Okay, so God made two, male and female. And the important thing is, He made us in the image of God. Now, books written on this, dear friends, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? That's you and me, are made in the image of God. Does that mean to say God's got hands and fingers and eyes and toes and feet? No? But the capacities that we have with our hands and eyes and ears, God has the capacities. He's passed them on to us in that sense, right? But it's more than that. God is a God that is a God of light, justice, a God that loves, a God that thinks and experiences. He's passed that on to us. We've been made in His image. Lots more on that, but that's for the moment. Okay, so male and female, one more thing, it's important to say this, yeah? In case you lads get a big idea about yourselves that you are the top bee's knees and things, yeah? The image of God consists of male and female. God is called a he, and he is, right? But there are qualities in God that the ladies show better than the men do. Yeah? And there are qualities in the fellas that we show better than the girls do. Being stupid is one of them, you know. Well, that's how it goes, isn't it? Yeah. I said it before, you lot did, that's all, yeah. Okay. Right. But you got the point. There are qualities, and you look at Jesus. Jesus is a man's man. Yeah? You don't get better than Jesus. He's as tough as they come, and yet as gentle and as tender and kind, as gracious as any mum could ever be. Yeah? That's Jesus reflecting the image of God in its purity. Yeah? And he made man and woman like that to start with. Okay, next slide, please. Right, and he gave us a job. I thought they'd like the picture. Mission plan and the caretaker job. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. There's lots to say about that, but I won't go into all the detail. But be fruitful and increase. Do you know there's one commandment that human beings have never had any problem in obeying? Every other one we've got problems with God. Yeah, but being fruitful and multiply seems to be coming okay. Yeah. So that's one other thing. For the rabbis said this. You know, what does it mean to multiply? How many kids do you have to multiply? No. 2 is maintaining, 2.1 to be precise. You need 2.1 to maintain the population level. To multiply, you need 3. Well, there you are. We're all slipping up here, aren't we, folks? Yeah? Never mind. Okay, and he told them multiply, right? And the other is, he gave them a job to do. Right? Rule over the fish in the seas. Now, that's been abused by human beings. What did God want us to do is to look after the place. He gave us a home. He didn't expect us to trash it. But that's exactly what we're doing. Right? That dominion that God gave to man isn't the authority to mess the place up. It's authority to look after it. He put us as caretakers of his world. Well, you can do what you can in your bit, but human beings have really messed up, haven't they? Next slide, please. Right. Day 6. We just nearly finished on day 6. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Right, so God says, I've provided you with food. The interesting and important thing about that is, man was first created, and all the creatures were first created. There have been changes, as we'll see later on. But man and the creatures were all created to be vegetarian to start with. Yes? And I suggest one of the reasons was that we had very good chemistry in those days. I don't know if you know this, but dogs don't need vitamin C. Did you know that? Dogs don't need vitamin C. Why don't they need vitamin C? Because they can make it, right? I've got a theory, and I'm pretty sure it's right. We could make vitamin C once, but we've lost the capacity. Human beings have been going downhill a bit, some of us more than others, but there you are. Yeah. But anyway, originally vegetarian, right? Provided for all the creatures. One more little thing, and what's the promise when Messiah sets up his kingdom? It's a lovely passage in Isaiah. What's going to happen with the lion and the lamb? Because they'll lay down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. Back to stage one. Yeah? Amazing, eh? God's got big plans. Yeah? Next slide, please. Yeah. Day 7. Right. This is chapter 2. For some reason, I do not know why, they divided chapter 1 at the wrong place. Because to finish a week off, you need day 7. And they chopped off day 7 into chapter 2. So we got it back. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the heavens. Now, could go on a lot about this as well, but we can't. First of all, to say that God made the seventh day as a special day. He stopped creating. God didn't stop working. Yeah, he's looking after things, he's keeping it all working, but he stopped creating. So he blessed that seventh day and had rested on it. That's it. Yeah? Right? And then we get this little bit. This is the account of the heavens and the earth. You'll see that several times through the book of Genesis, and our translations, both modern ones and later ones, earlier ones, they put that as the heading of the next section. But I believe it's the end of a section. It's the signature. Right? We'll go into that perhaps another time. But basically, this is the account that God gave. It's God's written account of how it all started. Yeah? Right then. Next then, please. So, here's a question. Why did God take so long? 6 days. I am being funny. I mean, if God can make the stars also on one day, right, I don't think he's got any problem with making all of it in one day. Yes? So why did he take so long? Yeah? Right, let's have a look. Next one then, please. Yeah. It's a pattern for us. See Bob the Builder and his friends? So on. Right. In Exodus 20:11, it says, it's part of the Ten Commandments, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, and he says, you do the same. Right. So, God set it as a pattern for us, a 7 day week, right? And that means that we can get a time where we leave the work behind and spend the time at the seaside. Is that what it means? You do need to rest. You do need to rest. But it was designed as a time to more and more concentrate on thanking God, appreciating what he's done. Yes? It's a time for worship and recreation in God, recreation in God. Yeah? Okay, so that was a pattern. God did it as a pattern for us. Right, next slide, please. Right, and then it's also prophetic. I don't know if you know that. In Hebrews, he talks about the 7 days. And he says, there's a Sabbath day coming. A Sabbath day when people can enter into their rest. And he uses this idea of saying is, the trouble for human beings is they're always working away and working away and working away, trying to earn God's love. Trying to do their bit to contribute to what God's done. Right? And he says this, stop it. Instead of trying to solve your own problems, turn to God, trust in Jesus, and you will enter into a rest and a peace that all the other days can't provide. Yeah? So it's a picture of the gospel as well. The seventh day is a saying, God's done something for you, and he wants you to enter into it and to enjoy his blessings. He did it for us, you see? Next one, please. Right. One more. Yeah? Prophetic. A sign for the new world. That seventh day. The seventh day that God rested on. What did Jesus do on the seventh day?
He rose from the dead.
He didn't. He rose on the first day. Yes, it's the first day of a new week. The first day of a new week is Sunday. Yes? Right. We have a problem, don't we, now? Because we think that the first day of the week is Monday. You look at all the calendars. All the calendars do Monday as the first day of the week. It's not the first day of the week. Sunday's the first day of the week. And Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And he started a new sequence. Did I get you wrong? Saturday's the end of the week. Yes, the rest day. But the first day of the week was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And it's the promise, the first day of a new week, the day when creation begins to start all again. Yeah? Next slide, please. Right. So, this is how it was meant to be. I hope you notice the verse when God spoke about all he made. Says God says it was very good. This is as good as it was going to get. It was very good. When God says it's very good, he's not missed anything. It's good. Right. And we haven't improved it. I've said that already, haven't I? But here's one of the lessons that the Apostle Paul draws in the book of Romans. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. In other words, when the atheist stands before their maker at the judgment, They will have no excuse. God says, I put it in front of your eyes. I'm God. I made it. It didn't make itself. I was the designer. I created all these things. It's no excuse to say I don't believe in you. Right? That's important. Men are without excuse. He says, you can discover about God from all that's around us. He says this, you can understand his eternal power and divine nature. God is eternal. He exists outside of it and beyond it. And he's pretty powerful. If he can create all this and keep it all going, he must be amazing. Of course, one of the problems, like David Attenborough has, he sees all the horrible things in our world, and there are some horrible things. And he asks himself, if that's what it's like, there can't be a God. Well, he hasn't read chapter 3 of Genesis. We're not there. You've got to wait for that bit, Jim. Right? There's an explanation. But there's enough good around to be able to say, someone must be amazing to have made all this. Paul says, we've no excuse. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
All right, then. That's good. You've got the message. Right. Next then, please. Last but not least of my images for today. The most important thing in those first days, how long it lasted, I don't know, but the most important thing about those first days was he created man, he created us to know him and to love him and to have fellowship with him and to worship him. That's what it was for. That we can know God and love him and experience his love. That's amazing. And, of course, the amazing thing is the promise that we have in Jesus is better than the beginning. Do you know why? Another great theological question for you. Why is it better with Jesus than it was at the beginning?
Because the answer is,
we come under his grace. Answer, I've still got to wait for a few weeks for this one. Right? The main reason why is, in Adam, he blew it. Yes? It was great. It was wonderful. It was very good. And he messed it up for all of us. Jesus, the second Adam, comes. He didn't blow it. It can't go wrong with Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? If you're in Jesus, you can be as useless as you want to be, and most of us are, yeah? You can be as useless as you want to be. You can't mess it up with Jesus. He's going to fix it. Isn't that wonderful? So, we have a promise of greater things in Jesus. But didn't God get off to a brilliant start? He wants human beings to know him and love him. That's great. Yeah. Let's pray. And then we'll sing a song and share together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your creating power, Lord, that Jesus was the one that spoke the words. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word spoke and it became, all these things came to pass. Jesus, you were there working on it with the Father. Thank you, Lord. We bless you for loving us. We thank you for making us and for making our world around us. Lord, you're God. There is no other. And we worship you. We ask your blessing and your help. And pray for your mercy, Lord, as we seek to serve you and live in this world that you've made for us. Help us to make it a better place, Lord, and to praise you while we do it. In Jesus' name. Amen.